Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, has the Federal Bureau of Investigation become public enemy number one? Let's view the evidence. It's the height of irony that the agency that invented the concept of public enemy number one, the FBI, might have just become exactly that. It's no secret for decades in America, there has been endless plans and schemes cooked up and hatched by the people in power, and most of the time those schemes have gone soundly against the best interest of American citizens. But here on day 882 of 15 days to flatten the curve, we are watching something truly astounding. We are seeing what used to be done in secret now being boldly and brazenly done out in the open, and they are daring you to stop them. Psalm 64, verses 2 to 4 say, "Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, America continues her long downward slide into the abyss of nations, descending into utter chaos and lawlessness. I'm not talking about the lawlessness of Antifa, Black Lives Matter, or even the Capitol insurrection on January 6th. No, I'm talking about something infinitely more terrifying. Lawlessness from our lawmakers and leaders in Washington, D.C., in the name of truth, justice, and the American way, the United States has become an authoritarian police state where despotic groups like the FBI and the CIA use their overwhelming power and force to carry out a political agenda. Today in the podcast, we show you just how deep the rabbit hole goes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for waking us up today. We thank you, Lord, for the food on the table, the clothes on our back, and the roof over our head. You're good to us, God, and we're glad and we're grateful. This morning, we pray for Laura Campoy, involved in a motor scooter accident and has many months to go of rehabilitation. We pray a healing and full recovery. Jeanette is asking for prayers for a full-time caregiver. Anetta, we are praying for a full recovery from her from a massive stroke back in the beginning of May. Kevin Thompson and his wife are asking for wisdom and guidance from the Lord about moving in November. Dana Bragdon needs to have a CAT scan done regarding a mass that was found in her lower abdomen. And we are praying that the Lord will work and move in that situation. Clayton Perry is receiving ongoing cancer treatments, and he needs your prayer. Marie Berger has an unspoken prayer request, as do many people today. Jackie is praying for her husband, John, with stage 4 cancer. Marie Comfort is praying for her friend, Tammy. Tammy's mother passed away from a rare form of breast cancer, and now Tammy's daughter has been diagnosed with the same. Bonnie would like us to pray for her niece, Jennifer, and her mom, Karen, regarding medical issues. Rick and Gail Comfort are both, they both had COVID, and they are both recovering. We're also praying this morning for Beth Fine, who has been diagnosed with COVID. And if you could throw me into your prayers, I would very much appreciate that. I don't have COVID. I tested negative on Saturday and negative yesterday, but I have a really nasty head cold, and I would appreciate your prayers. Thank you very much. Heavenly Father, We lift up our prayers and our petitions and our praises to you today. And Lord, we live in scary times, and we ask you to work and move and heal in these situations for people with cancer and COVID and all sorts of injuries and problems. We ask you, God, to figure that out and to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And Lord, we are dependent on you this morning, and we need you this morning. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the shed blood on Calvary. Lord, hear our prayers and praises this morning, and work and move for your glory and for our good. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this afternoon, we are doing a program that is fairly inflammatory. And I have no problem with talking about inflammatory things. For the last 13 years, this December 10th, it will be 13 years officially that God raised up Now the End Begins, and we have grown and expanded, and we have influence and reach all over the globe. And I understand that we're talking about the FBI today. We're talking about the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And I also understand that 2 years ago, and I found out about this in November of 2020, 2 years ago, at the height of the pandemic, various people in the military showed me screenshots of what they saw on their computers when they attempted to access nowtheendbegins.com. And at first, I didn't believe it. The first screenshot that I was sent, I thought it was Photoshop. I thought it was just somebody messing with me. And then I got the second one and the third one and the fourth one and the sixth one. Now the End Begins enjoys a very large audience with the United States, with members of the United States military, the men and women of our fighting forces. And we're very glad and very grateful that so many men and women of the military tune in to our broadcasts, and they read the articles that we post. But I was shocked, but not surprised, to find that the U.S. Cyber Command has designated Now the End Begins as an extremist website. And I just posted the link into the chat room, and you can read that article when you have time. But if you're not in the chat room, just go to nowtheendbegins.com and type in Cyber Command, and this article will pop right up. So before I talk about the FBI and the Department of Justice and all these other highly controversial and inflammatory things, I would like to preface this program, necessarily so, by reading to you a couple of sentences from the article that we published back in November of 2020. And I am doing this to remind everybody who's listening over at the U.S. Cyber Command, and I'm sure the FBI and the CIA. If you remember a radio program that we did about 8 years ago, a man by the name of Jim Garrow, and he was an undercover CIA operative for 40 years. And he revealed that to the world on one of our broadcasts back in 2012 or 2013. I don't remember the exact year. But Jim Garrow told me that not only does Now the End Begins have an FBI and CIA file, he said he has seen it and he has read the CIA file on nowtheendbegins.com. And so I'm not talking from any type of a paranoid position or anything of that nature. I am just simply acknowledging that the war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short, and we are called to the fight. But before I talk about the FBI today, I want to define the fight that we talk about. And again, I am doing this for the benefit of government agencies who listen on a regular basis to our broadcasts. Now, the Bible says this, and we'll start here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Open your King James Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's read verses 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And I said all that to say this: for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning guns and knives and bats and bricks. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So what is the Apostle Paul saying? The Apostle Paul is saying that as Christians, we are not called to fight the battles of the world. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Turn to Acts chapter 5. You remember when Peter, James, and John were brought before the council, and their crime was preaching Jesus Christ. And they were told to stop doing that. And then they beat them and let them go. Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So, I said all that to say this: we who are saved, our battle is not with the United States government or any government. We are not fomenting war. We are not even advocating for civil disobedience. We are coming up on 10,000 articles that we have published over the years. 10,000 articles that we have published. And you can go and you can search every single one of those articles. We've published so many articles that from time to time, somebody will say, hey, remember that article that you did back in 2014? And they'll send me the link. And it takes me a minute to even remember that we published that article, because we have published almost 10,000 articles. So you can go back and you can read any one of those articles that were published during the Obama years, during the Trump years, during the Biden years, and you won't find a single word that is telling anybody to riot, to demonstrate, to commit disobedience, to charge the Capitol. We stand for law and order. The Bible says that the lawless one is Antichrist. Where do laws come from? They come from the law of Moses. They come from your King James Bible. So I want to read to you a couple of sentences from an article that I wrote about the U.S. Cyber Command, declaring Now the End Begins to be an extremist organization. So you at the FBI and the Cyber Command and the CIA that monitor these broadcasts, listen and listen good. Obviously, Now the End Begins is far from an anti-government organization. We love law and order, which is precisely why we expose the lawless Marxists like Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Kamala Harris, and all the rest. Do we preach extremism as the U.S. Cyber Command says that we do? Well, in a way, we do. We are extreme in our declaration that there is no salvation for anyone at any time outside of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that includes the people at the U.S. Cyber Command. That's pretty extreme. How extreme is that? It will get you banned on Pinterest, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We had our NTEB Pinterest account taken away, we had our LinkedIn account taken away, and we had our Facebook account with hundreds of thousands of followers deplatformed. Now, we are extreme in our position that the King James Bible is the preserved Word of God, to the exclusion of every other Bible that has come after the King James Bible. That's very extreme. Just ask any Laodicean Southern Baptist Convention church member, pastor, or leader in the SBC. They dumped the King James Bible in the trash back in 2019. They switched to the pusillanimous ESV. Good luck fighting your spiritual battles with a rubber sword. NTEB is extreme in our desire to get the gospel out to the entire world, and have devoted our lives and fortunes, such as they are, to accomplishing that task. And then at the time that this article was written, I talked about how NTEB readers back in 2020 raised over $12,000 to ship out 8,000 copies of the King James Bible. That was fantastic back in 2020, and now we are almost 500% past that. So, I conclude my article by saying this. We invite the U.S. Cyber Command to review any one of our articles and show us just one example of extremism that calls for acts of violence against any individual, business, or government institution, you won't find it. I am the son of a World War II veteran that received an honorable discharge after serving this nation during World War II and Korea. As a patriot, I love America, and as a Bible-believing Christian, I pray for the lost souls at the U.S. Cyber Command who have labeled what we do as extremism. If you think that Now the End Begins is extreme, just wait until you face Jesus Christ at the Great White Throne Judgment. Then you'll know what the meaning of extremism really is. I pray that you get saved before that day arrives. So, with that, we are now ready to start today's broadcast on what's been happening at the FBI. Now, for decades, America has been embroiled in controversies and conspiracy theories. This November, we are getting ready to do an absolutely explosive program on who really killed JFK. Spoiler alert, it was not Lee Harvey Oswald. And we're going to prove that when we have our big broadcast in November. And I think it's going to be like the 59th anniversary of the assassination of JFK. We are going to show you, based on audio clips that were present over the last years, we're going to show you that JFK was murdered by the United States government. And we're going to prove it. And we are going to use news reports and audio clips. Not going to give you conspiracy theory. Not going to give you conjecture. I'm going to show you that the United States government conspired and killed John F. Kennedy in Dallas in 1963. So, today's program, we're going to show you that what used to be done not out in the open. What used to be done in secret behind closed doors is now being done out in the open. And we are going to focus primarily on the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. Now, this is not a defense of Donald Trump. This is not to defend him. This is not to exonerate him. This is not to make him seem guilty. In our broadcast today, Donald Trump is really kind of like the bystander in what we're talking about today. We are talking about a massive overreach and abuse of power by multiple government agencies. That's what has happened. And you should be worried about that, because if they come after him and Trump has, I won't say unlimited resources, but Trump has a lot of resources to be able to defend himself. Do you have massive resources to defend yourself if the FBI or the CIA or the DOJ decided to seize your mobile device? And we're going to look at some people whose devices that they've seized, people like Scott Perry, who was told through lawyers that he is not a subject of the DOJ investigation on Donald Trump's classified documents. But they took his phone, they copied it, they imaged it, they downloaded everything, and yet he was told that he was not a subject of the investigation. And what you're going to see today is absolutely frightening, because it is going to show you that the United States of America, the wheels have come off the bus. If you're waiting for the red wave in November, I'm just telling you right now, I don't mean to be a wet blanket. I don't mean to be a party pooper. But if you think that the red wave is going to change anything, you're going to be very disappointed. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to vote. I briefly flirted with the idea of not voting, but I'm going to vote. And I'm going to vote 100% down the line Republican. I'm not even going to look at what the issues are. But at the same time, I have no illusions or delusions that that vote is going to really change anything. So today we want to show you massive abuse of power by the agencies that are supposed to be protecting us. And they're not. They have become weaponized. They have become instruments through which political agendas are carried out. And I'm going to prove that to you today. So let's just take a trip down memory lane. Barack Obama, back when he was president, he told you what they were going to do. He told you what the plan was. He told you what was happening. You know, Maya Angelou, liberal poet, she said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Well, I want you to believe what Barack Obama said when he was president of the United States. Take a listen to this.
You just have to flood a country's public square with enough raw sewage. You just have to raise enough questions, spread enough dirt, plant enough conspiracy theorizing that citizens no longer know what to believe. Once they lose trust in their leaders, in mainstream media, in political institutions, in each other, in the possibility of truth, the game's won. You just have.
So there you have Barack Obama, and he was telling you what the plan was. And the plan's been in operation for quite some time. The plan was in operation before Barack Obama even became president. And this has been going on since the days of the start of the Bilderberg Group and David Rockefeller and all those different clips that we've played for you before. This is 1984, what George Orwell warned about. Now, in order to get the right mindset for talking about the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago that took place last week, I want to play another clip to remind you of what happened back when Donald Trump was president, something called Russian collusion. And we're going to talk about Russian collusion today. The reason why we're going to talk about Russian collusion is because it was fake. It wasn't real. The United States spent $28.5 million and tasked a man by the name of Robert Mueller with finding out and investigating if Donald Trump had colluded with Vladimir Putin and Russia to become president of the United States. And this was a conspiracy at the highest level of government. This was the Department of Justice. This was the FBI. This was the CIA. This was the Clinton crime family. This was the entire machine firing on all eight cylinders. So the mainstream media has been a willing accomplice with all these groups that we're going to talk about today to make you believe that Donald Trump conspired and colluded with Russia to become president of the United States. Now, they spent $28.5 million. They spent 2.5 years. They turned the nation upside down. And did they find evidence that Donald Trump had conspired with Vladimir Putin to become president? No, they didn't. They didn't find one single scrap of evidence. So I want to play this montage by the mainstream media, and you're going to hear from MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR. You're going to hear from the entire mainstream media who day and night tried to brainwash you into believing that Donald Trump's days were numbered. And again, as you listen to these clips, this is not primarily about Donald Trump. What you're listening to today is not a defense of Donald Trump. What you're listening to today is not about the Trump presidency so much as it is about the abuse of power at the highest levels of the United States government. And I don't want you listening to these sound files, and the only thing that you're thinking about in your mind is about defending Donald Trump. Trump just happens to be the person that they're going after at the moment. But soon it's going to be other people. One day it could possibly be you. So today's program is not about Donald Trump. Today's program is about the abuse of power at the highest levels of the Department of Justice, the CIA, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Attorney General, and collusion by the mainstream media. Do you remember back during the Russian collusion scandal? And I call it a scandal because there was no collusion with Russia, but it was a scandal that they tried to make you think that the Trump campaign had colluded with Vladimir Putin and Russia. They spent $28.5 million and 2.5 years turning this country upside down to prove that Donald Trump had colluded with Russia. They did not prove that. They were unable to prove that. And they never apologized. They never retracted their accusations. And after the Mueller investigation failed to find any meaningful evidence to indict or implicate Donald Trump in collusion with Russia, they continued unabated, straight ahead, And that takes us all the way to where we are now with the unlawful raid by the FBI on Donald Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. So I want to play this clip for you of the entire mainstream media, MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, and all the rest of these people trying to brainwash you that the walls were closing in and Donald Trump was about to be arrested. Take a listen to this.
Donald Trump's done. He's done. There's no question about that. He's done.
Breaking news.
A bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
The beginning of the end.
And breaking news.
We have another bombshell.
Mike Pence might have to assume the office of the presidency.
The call for impeachment.
Rumblings of the word impeachment.
Breaking news.
Another bombshell out of the White House.
I believe this is the beginning of the end.
I do too.
It's really the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
He may be feeling the walls closing in on him.
All the walls closing in on him.
The walls closing in on him.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning of the end for President Donald Trump.
The beginning of the end of the Trump presidency.
Trump will resign.
Trump is going to resign.
Is this the tipping point? I know we've said it over and over.
You think this is a tipping point?
And over and over.
This is a tipping point.
And over and over.
Breaking news, President Trump off the rails.
It was the beginning of the end today.
The beginning of the end.
It reminds me a lot of the last days of Nixon.
Breaking news tonight, new bombshell.
This is the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
The walls are closing in.
The walls closing in.
The walls closing in.
Breaking overnight bombshell.
This is a very dramatic day, and I think it might be near a tipping point. Do you think this is a tipping point?
This is unbelievable. This is remarkable. Have you ever seen anything like this?
His presidency is crippled.
December 1st, 2017, you can mark it down. This is the day that everything changed.
We begin with the bombshell.
The beginning of the end.
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 In fact, if this were a football game, we're in the third quarter. May even be the beginning of the end.
We begin tonight with the bombshell.
Donald Trump is in a lot of trouble.
Trump is in trouble.
The president will resign.
Another hour, another bombshell.
This is a tipping point.
Trump's going down.
This president could be impeached.
I do not think the president will serve out his term.
Resignation.
Resignation.
I don't think this president is going to serve out his term.
Mr. Trump will not serve out his term.
He will not serve out his term.
No way. No how.
Breaking news.
An absolute bombshell.
I think Donald Trump is in trouble.
Donald Trump is not. He's done. And it's over.
It's over.
The wall's closing in.
The wall's closing in.
This is going to be the Achilles heel.
Breaking news tonight. I expect Trump to depart.
This week will be the watershed week.
Trump is in big trouble.
Trump's in a lot of trouble.
It's a sign of a terrified old man who feels the
walls
closing in.
The walls
are increasingly
closing in on him.
Tonight the walls
are closing in.
Today changed everything. This is the beginning
of the end.
Today the biggest
point for the Trump administration.
What a historic day. The bombshells, they fell.
It's interesting. It's crumbling internally.
He's underwater. He feels the walls closing in.
Could his testimony be a turning point?
We may be at a tipping point.
It's the beginning of
the end.
The beginning
of the end.
Another bombshell.
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 This is a bombshell.
It is a bombshell.
I am beginning to resent the word bombshell.
Now, I played that clip because I want you to remember what has been going on for many, many years now. And what you just heard was the entire panoply of the mainstream media parroting each other, all reading the same talking points, all reading from the same prearranged script, and they all have one goal in common. And that goal is to take down Donald Trump. And the reason why that they have to take him down is because that is how the New World Order advances in power. And so what they did for the entire 4 years of the Trump presidency is they did garbage like that. Bombshell, bombshell. Trump is going to step down. There's no way he can make it through the weekend. That was 4.5 years ago. And so you need to remember that this campaign of lawlessness has been going on for many. It didn't start with Trump. It didn't start with Obama. This has been going on since about the end of World War II. And that leads us to where we are now in 2022 with the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. Take a listen to what Tulsi Gabbard, who was filling in for Tucker the other night, had to say about the FBI raid. Take a listen to this.
Now, whatever your views are on Donald Trump, there's no denying that the unprecedented raid on his Palm Beach home earlier this week has set our country on a dangerous new course, and there's no turning back. The FBI's raid on Mar-a-Lago changed the country that we grew up in. We grew up believing that, hey, our government will apply the law equally to all Americans, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. We're seeing more and more that that country no longer exists. Law enforcement at the highest levels of government, whether it's the DOJ, the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and now even the IRS, have been weaponized to target the political opponents of the Uniparty, the permanent Washington, and the Biden regime. Attorney General Merrick Garland has already issued a stark warning to anyone who dares to disagree with these tactics that are all hallmarks of a dictatorship.
Let me address recent unfounded attacks on the professionalism of the FBI and Justice Department agents and prosecutors. I will not stand by silently when their integrity is unfairly attacked.
So you are not allowed to disagree with the FBI. That is the new message. The security state will label you an extremist for daring to challenge or disagree with the regime's weaponization of law enforcement.
You hear what Tulsi just said? She said the regime will label you an extremist if you dare to disagree with their position. And we started this show by telling you that Now the End Begins has been labeled as an extremist website by the U.S. Cyber Command. So as far as I'm concerned, everything that Tulsi is telling you right now is exactly true, and we have experienced that firsthand.
They talk about defending the blue. They talk about defending law enforcement officers. They fly the flags. They put on the bumper stickers. And yet, if it doesn't suit their political purposes, then they remain silent or even attack law enforcement officers. The senator talked about the FBI's attack on our constitutional republic. Another Republican senator accused them of being a third world Marxist dictators. And yet, the silence is deafening.
These guys aren't Republicans, Joe. These guys are extremists.
Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel.
And there's Tucker with the closing promo. So Tulsi just, she's bringing you the basically the same message that we're bringing you today, that America has devolved to the point where if you disagree with the people in power, you are now an extremist. Donald Trump took classified documents with him. And that is what the FBI claims was the reason behind the raid. Do you remember what happened with Hillary Clinton when she had an unbelievable amount of classified, highly volatile secret documents on her private personal email server? And you remember that whole scandal about her emails, and she was told by the FBI to preserve all of her devices. She didn't preserve any of her devices. Did she get in trouble for that? Did she serve any jail time? Did she have to pay a fine? No. What happened to Hillary Clinton? Absolutely nothing. But unlike the investigation into Donald Trump for Russian collusion, the investigation by the FBI into Hillary Clinton's private illegal email server actually did produce evidence against her. Take a listen to former FBI Director James Comey telling you that while they found evidence of crimes, they chose not to prosecute.
Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information. For example, 7 email chains concern matters that were classified at the top secret special access program at the time they were sent and received. Those chains involve Secretary Clinton both sending emails about those matters and receiving emails about those same matters. There is evidence to support a conclusion that any reasonable person in Secretary Clinton's position or in the position of those with whom she was corresponding about those matters should have known that an unclassified system was no place for that conversation. We did not find direct evidence that Secretary Clinton's personal email domain, in its various configurations since 2009, was hacked successfully. But given the nature of the system and of the actors potentially involved, we assess we would be unlikely to see such direct evidence. We do assess that hostile actors gained access to the private commercial email accounts of people with whom Secretary Clinton was in regular contact from her personal account. We also assess that Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email domain was both known by a large number of people and readily apparent. She also used her personal email extensively while outside the United States, including sending and receiving work-related emails in the territory of sophisticated adversaries. Given that combination of factors, we assess it is possible that hostile actors gained access to Secretary Clinton's personal email account.
So I'm just going to stop James Comey there for a second. That has to be one of the most carefully worded statements I have ever heard in my entire life. Absolutely one of the most carefully worded statements ever. And what they're telling you is, yes, those documents were exposed to hostile foreign actors, and those hostile foreign actors had access to all the different machines and all the different systems, and those classified documents were like they had put them in Macy's window during the Thanksgiving Day parade. So that is absolutely what the FBI was forced to say when they investigated Hillary Clinton and her illegal private email server that was filled to overflowing with classified documents. You remember that she was the Secretary of State under Barack Obama. What was her punishment? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But let's let this clip finish.
Looking back at our investigations into the mishandling or removal of classified information, we cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts. All the cases prosecuted involved some combination of clearly intentional and willful mishandling of classified information or vast quantities of information exposed in such a way as to support an inference of intentional misconduct or indications of disloyalty to the United States or efforts to obstruct justice. We do not see those things here. To be clear, this is not to suggest that in similar circumstances, a person who engaged in this activity would face no consequences. To the contrary, those individuals are often subject to security or administrative sanctions, but that's not what we're deciding now.
So basically, Hillary Clinton was let off scot-free, even though they found a whole bunch of damning evidence to show that she had broken laws and violated procedures and protocols and security and safety measures. And I can remember covering this story at the time and how mad that it made me. Here, she was finally going to be brought to justice for all her various crimes over the last 25 years. And to listen to the director of the FBI tell you that they found dozens of places where she had violated the law. And not only that, she was told by the FBI to preserve all of her mobile devices, laptops, and desktop computers. And what did she do? She destroyed them with something called BleachBit. And I'm going to see if I can find that article where we talked about that. But that's how the FBI treated her during the email scandal. They found the evidence, they acknowledged the evidence, and then they just simply dropped the case. How about that Hunter Biden laptop? Take a listen to this clip. Hunter Biden laptop repairman calls out the FBI's double standard.
The computer repairman who handed over Hunter Biden's laptop to the FBI is now speaking out against what he calls the biased FBI. After the unprecedented raid at former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home, that repairman, John Paul MacIsaac, joins me now. John Paul, good morning to you. It's great to see you again. What are your thoughts on this raid that took place at former President Trump's home as Hunter Biden heads off to summer vacation?
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show. I think it's a blatant double standard. My family and I have witnessed the bias in the FBI going back as far as October of 2019, when they refused to touch the Hunter Biden laptop with a 10-foot pole until finally in December they came and they took it. And it, even then, they seemed to be reluctant. Then we saw them ignore the laptop during the impeachment trial. So the FBI never provided that information to the White House. So, and then how I was handled, a whistleblower on the left gets anonymity and gets to have their person remain intact, while I blow a whistle and I have to flee the state with death threats.
Yeah, well, speaking
so
of
I've definitely witnessed a double standard here.
Yeah, and speaking of whistleblowers, there was an FBI whistleblower who told Chuck Grassley that after you handed the laptop over to the FBI, there were FBI agents that called it Russian disinformation, possibly in an attempt to cover for Joe Biden ahead of the presidential election. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm excited that we're finally getting some clarity onto who started this whole Russian disinformation bit. I guess the Brian Auten was in August, decided to label my actions Russian disinformation. I'm curious to see if he did that before or after about the 24th of August, because it was the 24th of August I reached out to Rudy Giuliani's office. So if they started labeling that disinformation after I got in contact with Rudy Giuliani, that means the FBI was spying on the lawyer of the President of the United States. If they were labeling it Russian disinformation before that, then that means they were only spying on me.
Well, we now know that as Vice President, Joe Biden did meet with many of Hunter Biden's foreign business associates. He even met with two Chinese energy executives at the White House. Do you think that his involvement in his son's business has any impact on the decisions he's making now? Because that is the big concern.
I'm not surprised that the Chinese government probably has a copy of Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, he was very careless with his electronic devices. So whether they're using that as leverage over the Biden administration, it's really hard to tell. It just seems like, you know, between lithium mines in Afghanistan and how we've handled Taiwan, it just seems like we're going soft on China. And it begs the question, is it because they know something we don't? Are they holding something over the Bidens? It's hard to tell.
So here you have the FBI showing absolutely no interest of any kind into the personal laptop of the son of the President of the United States, with emails on that laptop from all sorts of representatives from the highest level of foreign governments in China and in Ukraine. Why would the FBI, if they are absolutely obsessed with boxes of classified documents in Donald Trump's closet in Mar-a-Lago, if they're obsessed with that, don't you think that they would be equally obsessed with the information on the laptop of the son of the President of the United States that could potentially contain information that would implicate the President of the United States in misuse of power, peddling influence, and willful wrongdoing? I'm just guessing. I don't know. I haven't seen the laptop. But I know this. I know that the massive campaign by the FBI and the Department of Justice and the entire mainstream media to make you think that the Hunter Biden laptop was nothing more than, you know, Russian collusion. That's what they said when it was first discovered. And if you remember, the New York Post was banned on Twitter. I forget how many weeks, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. They had no access to their Twitter account because the New York Post were the people that broke the story about the Hunter Biden laptop. And there was an immediate move to cancel the New York Post for bringing that to the public attention. And now that was about 2 years ago. And now everybody acknowledges that the Hunter Biden laptop was not Russian collusion, was not a Republican hoax, but was legitimate. So if we're acknowledging that there is actual information on the Hunter Biden laptop that could possibly implicate the sitting president of the United States, why is nobody investigating it? Why is nobody looking into it? Aren't we supposed to have equal justice under the law? Yesterday on Twitter, I tweeted that people are not mad so much about the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago as they are the fact that the FBI did not raid the home of Hillary Clinton with her misuse of classified information, and that they have not raided the home of Hunter Biden to get to the heart of his laptop to find out if the sitting president of the United States would be implicated by anything that would be on that laptop. And so what we see, at the very least, we see that the Federal Bureau of Investigation only seems to be investigating people connected with the opposition to the party that is in power at the moment. Now, when you have that, when you have agencies of any government that are now working to advance the political agenda of the people in power, that's what you see in places like Venezuela and Libya. That's what you see in third world countries. And that's why there's constant revolution and rioting in those places, because it's the only way that people can take back power. I'm not calling for revolution and rioting in America. I'm just simply telling you that this is why these things take place, why there is so much civil unrest in places like Venezuela, because their governments do stuff like this. And the people have no other recourse than to riot in the streets and try to overthrow the governments. Ron Paul, not Rand Paul, but Ron Paul warned about this almost 40 years ago. Take a listen to what Ron Paul had to say about the FBI back in the 1980s.
Guess what? We're talking about the FBI. Here's what Ron Paul said about the FBI. You know, the FBI is doing a political hit job on the establishment enemy, Donald Trump. Why? Because they can't beat Donald Trump at the ballot box. I don't mean just the Democrats, the Republicans either. So they know if Donald Trump wins, he'll probably win the Republican nomination and he'll be president. So they can't have that. And so the FBI just raided Mar-a-Lago and they're trying to pin a crime on Trump that would preclude him from running for office again, because they can't beat him. So here's what Ron. So now the Democrats are loving the FBI, which has always been an enemy of the left. But the Democrats aren't left anymore. The Democrats are a right wing party and an establishment party. So here's what Ron Paul said 30 years ago about the FBI.
Different groups in this country, including the churches, who disagree with the policy in Central America. It almost looks like the FBI was designed to spy on Americans who might be disagreeing with policy, especially the foreign policy.
You think?
So the FBI, although I don't think I could condemn everything they've ever done, because I'm sure some of the investigations and investigation of crime has been beneficial, but that could be accomplished through Justice Department within our states. We wouldn't reject that portion of it. But I think the FBI has kept and continues to keep a lot of records on a lot of individuals. The CIA has only been here since 1947. Their record is lousy.
So that's when you love a guy like Ron Paul, right?
So that's what Ron Paul had to say about the FBI about 40 years ago when he was a state senator. And the FBI has not been good for quite some time. But what happened in Mar-a-Lago should terrify Americans, whether they're Democrats or whether they're Republicans. Because if you can have a group of people that are able to control the justice and law enforcement agencies to carry out their political ambitions, that is a very, very scary place to live. So we've set the table now. Let's take a listen. Well, before we do that, let me just see. Mike Bragdon has a praise report. Officially retired. Amen, brother. And we pray that you and Dana will be able to get down here to St. Augustine and be part of the church that we're planting here. But congratulations on your retirement from the work world. There's no retirement from the work of the Lord. Amen, brother. Carl says, please pray for salvation for my coworker, Rayford. And Karen has a praise report and a prayer request. She says, thank you, NTEB family, for your prayers for my family recovering from COVID. Thankfully, my husband has recovered. My son, he got the virus and he's on the mend, but he has a bacterial lung infection. I am still working through the virus myself, but I'm praising God for all of his blessings and his strength in helping us heal. So please keep Carl's coworker, Raylord, in your prayers, and Karen and her family for a full recovery from COVID. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's get up to speed now. We've set the table. I've reminded you about Russian collusion. I've reminded you about the walls are closing in. I've reminded you how the mainstream media has colluded with the CIA and the FBI and the Department of Justice to incessantly peddle a false narrative in the hopes of brainwashing you into believing that the lies that they're telling you are true. So take a listen to this. Oh, which clip do I want to give you? Again, I'm having massive brain fog today. Where is that clip? I think this is the one that I want you to listen to. Unsealed documents, a shocker.
All right, joining me now is attorney Chris Swecker, former FBI assistant director. Chris, good to see you. What do you make of the warrant? What does it reveal to you?
Well, I think it's a bit of a bombshell when it was unsealed today. I expected to see the criminal statute cited as the basis for the search warrant to be possession of classified documents. What they cited are two espionage-related statutes that talk about willful conduct. It talks about taking documents, knowing that they will be used to the injury of the United States. These are serious crimes, and I'm a little bit surprised. I think there was a lot of information floating around out there that this was strictly about possession of classified documents, which is pretty benign. That means that an agent, official agent of the government, has gone to a judge and alleged that the ex-president of the United States is guilty of espionage, or at least there's probable cause to believe that.
So in regard to espionage, though, does he have to, does it have to be an allegation with probable cause that he was going to give those documents to a foreign country and injure the United States of America?
Well, so let me stop the clip right there. What this guy is saying, Chris Swecker, he's saying that the real reason behind the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago was to attempt to prove that former President Donald Trump was actively involved with espionage against the United States of America and colluding with foreign governments like Russia in order to conspire against the United States. Now, what does that sound like to you? To me, it sounds like Russian collusion 2.0. And that's why I played all those clips about the Russian collusion, to show you that they have not stopped their narrative. And last week's raid on Mar-a-Lago, if they're attempting to try to make the case that Donald Trump is guilty of espionage, that is a very, very serious crime. That is a very, very serious charge. Donald Trump would go away to prison for the rest of his life if he was guilty of espionage against the United States. And in some cases, they might even, prosecutors, if they could prove that case, might seek the death penalty. Now, if that's what the FBI was looking for, that is very, very, very serious.
The first statute cited talks about knowing that it will be used or can be used to the injury of the United States and so on. So it goes through different scenarios of possession, transmission, storage, copying, and that sort of thing. And I'm generalizing a little bit, but it's a pretty serious statute because there's a willfulness intent there, and there is that injury to the United States element, which I think is pretty serious. It's much more serious than we were led to believe.
Okay, well, let's do this. Here is former FBI Director James Comey from 2016 on Hillary Clinton's email scandal. Take a listen.
Eight of those chains contained information that was top secret. There is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information. She also used her personal email extensively while outside the United States, including sending and receiving work-related emails in the territory of sophisticated adversaries. We cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts.
So, Chris, here you have Donald Trump with allegedly top-secret documents in boxes at Mar-a-Lago. Reports say that they were locked up in a container. But here you have Hillary Clinton with classified information on a public server that could be accessed by foreign adversaries, but Hillary Clinton wasn't charged, but Donald Trump's home was raided. Can you make sense of the two different standards?
Hillary Clinton's home, and her home was not raided, she was not charged. Donald Trump's home was raided, and we are looking at, you know, he's going to be charged with something. I just want you to set your mind around that right now. Donald Trump is going to be charged with something. But the question is, why was Hillary Clinton let off the hook?
Cannot make sense. I mean, these two cases are very, very similar in that they involve classified government documents. Hillary Clinton's documents were much more exposed on the internet in that insecure server outside government control versus Donald Trump's, these old documents stored in boxes in double locked closets at Mar-a-Lago. Anybody's been to Mar-a-Lago knows you can't even get in that front gate. So it's a very, they're striking similarities in that they're talking about possession of classified government documents. Striking difference in terms of treatment. No search warrants for Hillary Clinton, even though, you know, these were 33,000 some odd emails and other communications that were just out there.
So, Chris, take a look at the statement from the FBI search warrant. Quote, The locations to be searched include the 45 office, all storage rooms, and all other rooms or areas within the premises used or available to be used by the former president and his staff, and in which boxes or documents could be stored. So, listen, I was a state prosecutor for 10 years. I've got a piece of paper here, and I can fold this paper up really small. In essence, any area within Mar-a-Lago that fits this space, they can search for documents, whether it's related to the documents from his presidency or January 6th or anything else. Am I right?
That's correct. It seemed to exclude guest-occupied rooms, right, and some other.
So I'll stop that clip right there, but I just wanted to show you, here we have people comparing and contrasting Hillary Clinton and the email server scandal, where no charges were filed and she was completely let off the hook, and classified documents regarding Donald Trump, and they raided his home. And, you know, the only way that they can cover themselves now, having taken this very unprecedented step of raiding Donald Trump's home, the only way that they can cover themselves is they're going to have to charge him with a crime. And they're going to have to attempt to make the case that Donald Trump is guilty of something that would justify a raid on his personal residence. So you don't just carry out events like this and then forget about it. And that's exactly what they're working on right now, is what can we possibly charge Donald Trump with and make it stick? You know, that's the opposite of what law enforcement is supposed to be about. You're supposed to look at the clues. You're supposed to look at the evidence and ask yourself, does that lead you towards a crime? What they're doing is saying, we need to find evidence that shows that Donald Trump is guilty of something. Doesn't matter what it is. And that's the reason why they raided his home, is to find evidence of something that they could possibly charge him with. Now, take a listen to this. This was actually the clip that I was looking for before. Merrick Garland and the FBI have made a big mistake with their raid. And this clip is one of the most rational, common sense statements to show you that raid on Mar-a-Lago was really, if they can't prove some sort of a crime, they're going to have a lot of explaining to do.
Former President Donald Trump continues to push back against the FBI after the agency raided his Mar-a-Lago home last week. He posted on Truth Social saying that the feds took boxes of privileged attorney-client material and executive privilege material and now wants it all back. Joining me now, Andrew McCarthy, a former federal prosecutor, a Fox News contributor. Andy, great to see you this morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, Dagan.
You say this raid went too far. Tell us more about that.
Well, there's multiple levels of this, Dagan, and I think, you know, President Trump's claims over the weekend about privilege probably bring it to a head, and not in a way I think that he'd probably appreciate. There's like a bottom-thrumming controversy that's been going on for about 18 months where the National Archives wants the presidential records that Trump took to Mar-a-Lago back. So, you know, what people need to understand is the issue here is whether it was appropriate for the government to go to DEFCON 5 and use criminal law measures to enforce the Presidential Records Act, which is not a criminal statute. But you should understand, those materials are the property of the United States. The question is whether they should, you know, how they should get back to the government's possession and whether it was appropriate to do it this way. Then there's this whole thing about classified information, which is what the government, I think, offers as its reasons why this was such an emergency that they had to do it now. And they issued a warrant that was not targeted at classified information. It actually authorized the agents to take every shred of paper that was generated during the Trump administration, which means no matter what they're telling you about classified information, they're trying to enforce the Presidential Records Act as if it was a criminal statute. And then I think there's what's really going on in here, which is that they're ratcheting up the investigation of January 6th because they'd like to make a case on Trump. And you can't separate what happened at Mar-a-Lago with all of the other frenetic investigative activity that they have going on with respect to January 6th.
So there you have the case being made that the real reason why they raided Mar-a-Lago was to find some sort of an evidence to back up the January 6th Select Committee, and they're going after Donald Trump on multiple levels. Jimmy Dore said earlier that they're doing this because they know that they can't stop him at the polls. And they are not going to allow Donald Trump to become president of the United States for a second time. And so what they're doing, have you ever been to like a 4th of July fireworks here in St. Augustine? I have been to about half a dozen 4th of July fireworks, and we sit on the wall of the old fort and over the beautiful St. Augustine Bay. The fireworks show will last for about 45 minutes. About 20,000 people will come out for it. And when it gets time for the big finale, the fireworks people fire off every rocket that they have. And it's a beautiful and slightly intimidating display of firepower. Well, that's exactly what that raid at Mar-a-Lago was. They had already launched the January 6th hearings. The hearings weren't going that well. They knew that the hearings were not going to produce of and by itself enough evidence to do anything with Donald Trump. So they brought the FBI in to perform a raid on Donald Trump's home to find anything that could implicate him in the January 6th events that took place at the Capitol. So as you're hearing in this clip, this raid was not solely about classified documents. It was about getting their hands on any document that could implicate Donald Trump on any level. Now, let me just put a plug in for the bookstore at this point. My friend Bill Grady reached out to me about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and he wanted to know if I had read his new book called Perilous Times. And I had not read his new book called Perilous Times. Many of you know that Bill Grady is he's an end times author. He's written some great books like What God Hath Wrought and Final Authority about the King James Bible. And for many, many years, I have enjoyed books written by Bill Grady. But his latest book is a book called Perilous Times. And we just started carrying that at the bookstore. And I highly recommend that you go to BibleBeliever.com and get yourself a copy of Bill Grady's new book called Perilous Times, written specifically about the things that are taking place in America right now. That book, by the way, is considered somewhat controversial in certain circles, and some bookstores have even refused to carry that book. But he reached out to me and said, would we have an interest in carrying his book, Perilous Times? And I said, absolutely yes. Now the End Begins is no stranger to controversy. So I highly recommend that you get a copy of Bill Grady's latest book, Perilous Times. It says here, Perilous Times was written to help stabilize God's children in their increasing difficult endeavors to preserve the old-time religion amidst the new normal in a post-Trumpian woke America. It says it will explain what is presently happening, why it's happening, and more importantly, how you can survive until the blessed hope. So highly recommend Bill Grady's new book, Perilous Times. You can get it at BibleBeliever.com.
Is it possible for Merrick Garland or to step up and say, here's what we have? I actually talked to you about this on Friday, that the American people deserve to know. I phrase it like this. What you got? Because this move, right, this raid is unprecedented, and it upends, turns on its head more than two centuries of norms in this country. So what you got? What do you have on the president? Could, because as you told me, that evidence collected in a search like this stays out of public view until it's presented in court, or it, correct?
Right.
So could Merrick Garland go ahead.
I was going to say, and the underlying affidavit. I mean, when you say what you got, what you're really talking about is what did they tell the court that persuaded the court to give them permission, the warrant, to go in, right? So right. In theory, I'm not sure they told the court everything they suspect and what their whole agenda is, but at least what's in the affidavit should be an explanation of why they had probable cause to go in and why it was important to do it now. And that affidavit is ordinarily something that we would never see unless charges are filed in the case, in which case it would get turned over to the defense in discovery. Now, given the unprecedented nature of this, the thing is, if Congress was in session and Republicans had any subpoena power, you would think there would be some aggressive oversight going on with respect to the Justice Department. I think it's very interesting, Dana, that they chose to do this as soon as Congress left town, so that there's not even any way to like convene a committee hearing about this right now because they're all off on constituent work? Is that what they do when they're out of town? Yeah. But in any event, what you would expect is that Congress would be pushing on this. I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for Merrick Garland to come out and say, all right, let me tell you what's in the affidavit. And I think he made a big mistake. If you're going to speak, you know, the Justice Department usually doesn't speak at all. He decided to go out and give a statement. I think if you give a statement, you have to respond to what Trump is saying. And instead, you know, he gave us a bunch of pabulum, but he really didn't address the things that people are concerned about, which is why did you need to do this and why now when this has been an issue for 18 months?
If you answer the question.
Why did you need to raid Mar-a-Lago and why did you need to do it now? Because we're only about 2.5 months away from the midterm elections. Because the January 6th Select Committee is not making the headway that they thought that they would. Because just like in that fireworks example that I gave you a few minutes ago, they're firing off all their rockets right now. So much so that they have also begun to seize the phones and mobile devices of people connected with Donald Trump. Take a listen to Scott Perry speaking out after the FBI seized his phone.
Republican House member Scott Perry seems to have lost his cell phone to the FBI. How'd that happen? Good question. Here is Scott Perry. Scott, thanks for coming on. Scott, did they give you back your cell phone?
Well, eventually they did, Larry. Thanks for having me come on. But I would say when it comes to the DOJ, if it weren't for injustice, there'd be no justice at all. So apparently they imaged my cell phone, but they haven't searched it. At least that's what they've told me, if you can believe that.
Did you give them the password, or do they have to de-encrypt it themselves?
Well, they took the phone, and they asked for the password. And I said, well, you have the phone, you have everything else. And they said, look, if you don't give it to us, it'll just take longer. I went ahead and gave it to them because... Now, the only person that's going to get punished by not giving to them is me.
Do you have any idea why they did this? I mean, they had a warrant. I don't know.
Yeah.
I am assuming you haven't seen the warrant, or maybe you did see the warrant.
No, I requested. They walked up to me and requested my phone. And, of course, I said, well, I'm not giving you anything until you show me some paperwork. And of course, no, I don't have any idea, because in talking to my attorneys, which, by the way, the FBI didn't bother to do, but when I talked to them shortly after this event, they talked to the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice told my attorneys that I'm not the target of an investigation. So get that straight. They took the phone, the personal cell phone of a legislator. This is the executive branch took it. And I'm not the target of an investigation. So
Congressman Scott Perry just told you that the Department of Justice told him that he is not the target of the investigation. However, they took his cell phone anyway, and they imaged it. Which just simply, that's a tech term. When you image something, you take a digital snapshot of everything that's on that phone so you can look at it later. But if he's not the target of an investigation, why do they need to seize his phone and image it? That's a pretty good question.
And allegedly, they just image the phone. They're not actually looking at anything on the phone.
Well, I know lots of people have interviewed or talked to you about this episode, but there's just a couple of, so you have no idea. You're not the target of an investigation. Does that include the January 6th commission?
Well, I know the January 6th commission with the, you know, they have used my name in vain many and many occasions and promoted a bunch of falsehoods about me, but I really don't know what this includes. They actually won't tell me. They won't really tell me anything about anything.
I mean, the reason I'm asking you, Scott, is it just seems coincidental that, was it the same day as the Mar-a-Lago break-in?
It was the next day. It was the next morning.
All right. The next morning, so they break into Mar-a-Lago, and for crazy reasons, espionage, that's been leaked. We don't know with certainty yet. The warrant was just released, but blah, blah, blah. Politico is reporting espionage. Okay. So I'm just thinking, here you come the next day. Why do they go after you the next day? I mean, that's just kind of begs credulity that it's a coincidence. So I think it's part of the fishing expedition. I mean, I think there's a January 6th commission fishing expedition. They're pulling out any and all stops, all people who are remotely concerned with this. They basically want to keep Trump off the ballot. And this whole thing is, you know, part and parcel of their weaponizing law enforcement.
So I'll just end that clip right there. But I think at this point you have a much better understanding of what's really happening. And now you're starting to see why the FBI went to such extraordinary lengths and raided the private residence of a former president of the United States. They are looking for something that they can take him down with. They're not looking so much at classified documents. They are looking to convict him on the Espionage Act, which is like I said before, it is a very, very serious crime. At the very least, what they're hoping to do is to tie him up so that he can't run for president. And even if they can't find something that is going to make him guilty in a court of law and to send him to prison, they can certainly find something to pin on him that would disqualify him from running again in 2024. So this is where we are on day 882 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Lulu says, prayer request, please, for a friend who just had open heart surgery. She is weak and her heart is having AFib. She is the sole support for her child who has Down syndrome. So please pray for Lulu's friend who had just had heart surgery. And she says also, please pray for another friend who is going through a lot right now. Not sure if she is saved. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in. And as always, thank you for being part of the NTEB global family of Bible believers across America and around the world. And please keep me in your prayers that I can beat this cold and I can get back to operating 100%. Thank you for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. And go to BibleBeliever.com and get yourself a copy of Perilous Times by Bill Grady. It's a great book. Have a great week, everybody.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.